Thanks for continuing on to stay with Astro Awani. My name is Ibrahim Sani. This is the Economics of Elections, where we try to unpack some of the key issues surrounding this political campaign. As we all know, the campaign is well underway, with the nomination day seeing very, very interesting candidates in a few hot seats. However, it is worth noting that over 60 or 70 seats do have more than at least four candidates. More than 100 seats have at least three candidates, and no seats have a one-to-one contest just yet. So there's a lot of unpacking in terms of what to expect when it comes to the campaign, which is also quite important for us to understand that while a lot has been said during the campaign, we need to focus on what has not yet been said during the campaign. Here to give some commentary notes on this is none other than a towering figure in the journalism world, Dato' A. Kadir Jassin, National Journalism Laureate. Dato', thank you again for making your way all the way here. We just need to understand a little bit more about some of the flavor that has been coming up from the campaign. It seems like Pakatan Harapan, say for instance, consistent with their messaging in trying to fight corruption, fight the status quo. Also, we're seeing some nuanced arguments from the other side, either from Bersatu or Perikatan Nasional, BN, even Warisan and Gerakan Tanah Air. There seems to be a quarrel of the Malay votes, a quarrel for the Malay votes. So where do you see things shaping up in terms of the messaging from the campaign period that we have right now?
You have to, first of all, you have to fight for the Malay vote to win, because Malay still form the majority of the voters. And generally, it is held that the non-Malay votes are already decided that they will vote other than the Pakatan, they will vote other than the Barisan Nasional. So Barisan Nasional will have to fight very hard to keep its Malay votes, and other parties will have sufficient, will have to get sufficiently big Malay votes to win. So as such, the fight for the Malay vote is perhaps the center of the entire exercise that we are seeing now.
Because of this, say for instance in the GE14, it was a rather straightforward conversation. Pakatan Harapan versus Barisan Nasional, with to some degree, and in some areas, PAS was also in the feature. But of course, PAS already won in their stronghold, so there was not much arguments there. So the issue here in this round is that four parties are vying for the Malay votes, including Tun Mahathir's party.
Yes, of course, his party is, he said quite clearly, it's a Malay party.
Yeah, so do they have enough Malay votes to go around, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the Malay votes will certainly be split. So as such, every vote now counts. So if the campaign is tough, hot, that's because now you have to reach every possible voters to get to your side. Right? What the last general election did was to break up politics in its entirety. There's no longer the dominant political party, no longer a dominant coalition or pakatan. It's almost a free-for-all this time, yeah.
Okay, we're looking at a possible Malay swing vote in some constituencies like Sungai Buloh in the form of Khairi Jamaluddin. Johor Bahru, we've seen how the Malay swing votes to the Malay candidate there, Akmal Asyik, in the previous general election. We don't know if it's going to be having a repeated scenario here. Some interesting candidates as well. Shah Alam, it's also quite interesting now because there is no more in the incumbent there. All the individuals that are contesting there is also quite interested to vie for the Malay votes. Kuala Selangor, where Barisan Nasional's man, Tengku Zafrul, is contesting his incumbent, Dr. Zul. So as you can see, there are a mixture of the urban Malay, so-called liberal Malay, versus urban Malay, conservative Malay. You have the sub-rural Malay, mm-hmm. sub-urban Malay, mm-hmm. Say in Kuala Selangor, for instance, and many more, it cannot possibly be having the same kind of messaging. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Everything has to be nuanced. I'm an urban liberal Malay. I don't need the whole
urban liberal Malay.
I
like that.
I'm looking for good governance. I'm looking for accountability. Mm-hmm. Honestly, these are not the things that, say, for instance, my mom would be looking at, and she's a voter in Johor Bahru. You know, so she might look for conservatism. She might look for status quo. She might look for authenticity. You know, so how do you think these messagings are going to be permeated, especially on the issue of economics right now, Dato'?
The era of party dominance, the era of the symbolism of a political party is over. Today, because of the way we communicate, the dominance of the social media, political party cannot anymore have one message, right? In fact, in this election, personalities play an important role. Why? Today, in this new communication era, every candidate can communicate directly with the voters. You mentioned about Sungai Buloh, right? I think generally Sungai Buloh, people don't really bother so much about the Sungai Buloh constituency, right? Mm. And suddenly today, when the candidates are announced, Sungai Buloh suddenly become a kind of a prima donna constituency.
It is, Dato'. I'm speaking out of experience because I am a Sungai Buloh voter.
Yeah.
I've been voting the same way for the past four general elections. I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for this election. My Taman Perumahan WhatsApp group, Surau group, the group where we have a lot of people sending their kindergarten children to, they are all undecided. I wouldn't say confused. I would say undecided.
That's not entirely a bad thing. Now, the voters, because of their indecision, right, in the next 2 weeks, they have to make a point seriously to decide who am I going to vote now. All right, previously, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care a lot.
Yeah.
But suddenly, because Khairi Jamaluddin is contesting, the whole equation has changed. Right.
And he's communicating directly with us, yeah?
Yes.
Through the WhatsApp, TikTok.
I said that, in fact, now we are in the era of personality politics. How you present yourself to your voters. How you show the confidence, how you communicate, how you tell your stories, how you put forward your ideas. Not anymore a monopoly of somebody who has a lot of power or money or control of the media. So, yes, you are right. And I'm very convinced that personalities will play a major role. For instance, I will not vote that person, even if he is a very important man in a party, because he has a court case.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, thanks to this.
Mm.
Right? Thanks to this. Yeah.
Okay, Dato, one more item that we need to explore is on the items of policies. And activities that these candidates need to do when they come into office. Very recently, I had Lee Shamuddin, senior partner, Datuk Nitin, talking about the importance of GST to be reintroduced despite its unpopularity. He was also talking about the ability for the government to expand the ability for them to collect more taxes, if not from GST, from somewhere else. And then, of course, the leakages that needs to be addressed. However difficult it may be, we have to address the leakages. basically, these are the things that, you know, not many people are here talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't see any candidates talking about these things. What's your comment on this?
Yes, I think we must demand the political parties, the candidate, to talk more about what are you going to do about the sagging economy, our sagging economy, and all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of problems that an average Malaysian are today facing. And you talk about GST. Mm. Well, Malaysians generally are not against taxation. For years, for decades, they have been paying taxes without any complaint. But the GST became a big issue, was opposed by a big chunk of the population because they don't trust the government of the day at that time.
Basically run by Najib lah.
Yes, because they don't trust. They don't trust their money and they don't trust anything with their government. So even if GST could be good in some ways and earn the government more money, the people say, well, you're pocketing the money, you're wasting the money. Right.
So this is an issue more of the trust deficit rather than the tax itself.
If you can prove that the money is going to be used properly, used productively for the good of the country and the people, I think people are quite willing. Well, nobody is really going to sing and dance paying tax. But you pay.
Yeah.
You pay. So I think... Well, GST or what other forms of taxation that can bring the government more revenue, there's no problem. But people will say, yeah, you need more money because the debt of one ADB alone is 50 billion. 30 over billion is still outstanding.
Yeah.
Right? You're even stealing the money from the development fund to pay for the... So people will oppose because people say, okay, well, we cannot be made the victim of your thievery.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's also that whole idea of what are the outstanding issues that you think the voters care about this time around. 1MDB was the big issue then, GST was the big issue then. This time around, what would be the top three or four things that you think
life is difficult for everybody. Right. Life is difficult for everybody. You could be a billionaire, times three, right? But if you go to, if your amah goes to the pasar and there's no chicken, well, it becomes your problem. Or your amah says, times three, I need more money. The price of eggs have gone up, but we have to buy a lot more and keep in stock because we don't know when the eggs are going to disappear. So I think you have every party, every candidate must address this. And in their rush, you know, in their to contest.
Yeah, the excitement to contest.
To contest. They forget what is my agenda. You should be telling the people, the voters, this is my agenda. If I'm voted, I'll bring to the parliament the first thing when parliament sit, there will be eggs for everybody. Mm. That's what people want to hear. Mm. All right. So, come up with real policies. Come up with real promise. Come up with methodology. Come up with formula to solve the country's problem.
Do you see any of these candidates presenting these
solutions? Well, I'm not even seeing it from the candidate of Kuala... Is it Kuala Selangor? Kuala Selangor, Tengku Zafrul. Well, what I read in the newspaper, the ringgit exchange rate falls. Good. The ringgit exchange rate increase. Good. Right? And as we are talking now, Bank Negara had just raised for the third time the OPR.
Yeah.
Right? As if there is a disconnect in the sense that Bank Negara doesn't care a damn about what is happening. Right? Since I've been raising OPR
Consistently,
well, I'm going to raise. It doesn't matter whether the poor chap who had finished all his EPF saving, right, during COVID, now he has to pay more and more for his housing loan, right? So this is also, we want to hear what the candidates have to say about this kind of thing.
Because of the candidates unable to address these kind of issues, based on your postulation here, do you feel that there is a big disconnect in terms of the campaigning versus what the people are trying to listen and hear?
We have been playing, we have been doing nothing in the last few years but politicking. And our, somehow or other, well, perhaps our mistake, that when we talk about economy, we zero it down on just one MDB. Of course, one MDB was a huge problem, but there are other things. There are other things that we need to address. Unemployment, inflation. We keep saying that our inflation is low. Yes, low compared to Indonesia, right? But the lifestyle in Indonesia is different. Indonesian people depend less on cash economy. We are totally cash economy, right? Indonesian can just go down to the sawah and pick up vegetable. We don't. We have to go to the shop to buy chili. So we cannot just compare apple to apple in this case. It's different. So we have to look at our problem the way that we live. So but are we doing that?
No. Well, there's also that whole notion of subsidies being put in play. As of the last count, it's 80 billion ringgit. Could be more by now. I don't know any solution that is being presented by any of the candidates.
No, we do not have moral courage to address this subsidy once and for all. Well, we have been talking about fuel subsidy, petrol subsidy. And I think that is perhaps the most unfair subsidy there is. Right?
Why do you say that?
Well, somebody who is driving a Proton Saga, how much is his subsidy element a month? How much petrol he uses? Right? Compared to a Tan Sri who drives a 5,000cc motor car, not one, but several. He also is entitled. I think this is crazy. We are pro, top 20. We are in fact giving more to top 20. Well, we are singing that we are helping the bottom 40. So this business of subsidy has to be resolved. When people look at subsidy, people tend to blame the poor farmers. Right? Oh, this is the poor farmers depend too much on subsidy.
And the fishermen.
What about the rich Tan Sri who is guzzling fuel every day? And many of them don't even bring back their profit. They keep their money abroad. So I think we have to be, and let's be frank, during this election, many of our corporate leaders will probably be leaving the country. Right.
I know a few.
Yeah, because they don't want to be seen to be associating or favoring any political party. And more so, they're the one, the parties coming around asking for money from them. So let us be frank lah. Let us be frank. Let us use this election to really debate sensibly. Okay, to be emotional once in a while, but let us be emotional about the right thing.
So what should we be emotional about, Dato'?
Corruption. Abuse of power. Penyelewengan. All kinds of things.
Swindling. Swindling.
Penyelewengan. Yeah. There's all kinds of things. Our country has become, in fact, the center of all kinds of unsavory things. So this should be the thing that we are talking about.
But these issues might not necessarily resonate with everyone in the country. We are looking at 222 different interests or different concerns.
There has to be core interests. I mean, surely you and I are paying tax every day.
Yeah.
You have breakfast, you pay tax. And you buy eggs, whatever, you buy whatever, taxable, you pay tax. We want the government to be accountable and tell us how you're going to use our tax money, right? How are you going to pay the mountains of debts that the government is creating?
Where you think the results are going to lead? Now we open your Nostradamus book. But of course, the kind of scenarios that you think is going to play out, not on November 19th, but November 20th onwards. Do you feel that there is a political party that can win straight up majority? Do you feel that some kind of coalitions, even unholy matrimony, will take place? Where do you stand on these things, Dato'?
Well, in the 2018 election, it was a clear, it was almost a clear-cut fight between Barisan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan, with PAS being the third force, right? And you see, even during, even in that situation, there was a clear winner, but there wasn't a big gap between the winner and the loser, right? There wasn't a big gap between Pakatan Harapan and Barisan Nasional, right? Then there is a third force. When the dynamic changed about 2 years after that,
Charter move.
Yeah, Pakatan Harapan
dissolved, disintegrated.
Yeah, fell. So there wasn't, in 2018, already there wasn't a clear cut.
Like definitive winner, yeah.
This was a narrow win. And this time around, with so many parties fighting, with so many personalities promising miracle, I don't think anybody would dare to say, I'm sure that this group will win outright.
Hands down, yeah, outright.
No. So it's going to be, like you said, voters in your areas are agonizing who is to vote. Right? Well, that
you might like the man, you might like the candidate, you might hate the party. That
yeah,
kind of
so it will end up that, well, every party will win some votes, but nobody is going to have enough vote to on their own, on his own, to form a government.
Okay, which is a good lead up to my second question. Mm-hmm. Coalition politics is going to be the next big thing.
It looks like that.
And of course, with the anti-hopping law in place, this helps the parties in negotiation to actually lock
yes.
down their partners,
yes.
Corresponding partners.
So it's easier, you know, the anti-hopping law make it easier for a proper coalition government. Meaning to say, only parties can negotiate, right? Previously, parties negotiate, suddenly some errant members decided, okay, I want to jump ship, right? So now, only parties can negotiate coalition.
That's also the whole idea of timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's thinking, because we've, for the past 14 elections, you do the election on day one, day two, you got a government.
Mm-hmm.
Will this be the case, in your opinion? Or do you feel that this coalition building might take place over several days?
If there is no clear winner, meaning to say if there isn't a party that win 115 or 116 or 117, right? Then there will the process of theoretically, let's say one group wins 120, 112 or 13. Well, I'm quite sure that group will quickly, as swiftly as possible, run to the palace to be sworn in.
Okay.
This time, it can even be very quick, because you don't have to worry about individual.
Ah, okay.
Right?
It is conscious.
Yes. So the head of the party makes a trip to the palace, and the Sriwijaya Pelan Raya has announced that his party 113 seats. Well,
off you go.
Yes, of course that it when the parliament sits, it can still fall, or even before the parliament sits, it can still fall because well, somebody else can say, okay, let us see if we can get together, but it make it a little bit more difficult.
All right. Any final word, Dato, before we conclude our conversation?
No, I hope that Malaysian takes these elections very, very seriously, more seriously than ever. The talk about I'm fed up and I'm not, I don't know who to vote, I'm not going out to vote. Well, that is almost as good as you committing suicide for yourself, for your children, and for the future generation. My last word is, everybody must go out and vote. And this election is not, to me, a serious election if we cannot get 85% or more of the registered voters to come out. We must show to the politicians, to the political party, that we are serious, and that we are monitoring every of your move. And that must be the case before the election and as well as after the election. When the government is formed, we must monitor the government.
Fantastic. What a way to end. That was Dato' A. Kadir Jassin, the National Journalism Laureate. He is also part and parcel of the journalism as well as the political space and fabric of the country. Do check him out. Also known as The Scribe. Mm-hmm. The Scribe, Dato'. Are you still penning your thoughts there?
Yes, I write in the blogs, The Scribe. Now I write mostly in Facebook.
You got to go Instagram, Dato'. That's where the young'uns are.
Yeah, maybe. On your advice, maybe.
Okay, nanti kita set up Instagram account. That was our conversation, Dato' A. Kadir Jassin. Do stay on with The Economics of Elections. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one. Stay tuned and stay on Astro Awani, the GE15 channel for you.